And I tell all the W-2 people, I said, let me show you how to leverage tax strategy so you get to keep that and perfect your skill set so you can buy some passive real estate. Just teaching people the best way to get what they want. And most of it's having a job and then using that job to fund their vision of investing.
Welcome to Surgeon Syndicate. If you're paying attention, you know that you only make money when you work. It might be great money, but it's dependent on you. The information on this podcast will help you solve that. We interview experts and provide analysis into financial freedom through commercial real estate. Why? To help physicians like you thrive. Let's dive in.
Welcome to Surgeon Syndicate. This is your host, Dr. Michael McManus, and we are here today with Zach Ullman. Welcome to the show, Zach.
Thanks for having me, my friend. I loved our conversations we had prior to this, and I'm excited for today.
All right. So for everybody out there, Zach was born amidst the sprawling fields of Indiana. He grew up with the earth beneath his feet and a sky-sized canvas of ambitions. From these humble beginnings on a farm, Zach harbored dreams of traversing the globe, uplifting lives, and achieving prosperity through the power of business. With a keen eye for value and a talent, seeing potential where others saw none, Zach excelled as a valuation consultant, where his expertise spanned from assessing public companies to the intricate valuation of illiquid, non-marketable assets. His unique skill set became the cornerstone of a thriving real estate investing community and a business ecosystem dedicated to the life cycle of entrepreneurship, starting, scaling, and selling ventures, then reinvesting the gains into real estate to create lasting wealth. Zach, that is an amazing written bio. And there's more here. I just feel like I'm not doing it justice, but I'm going to finish it because it's great. So over the past 4 years, Zach's quest for knowledge and impact have taken him to over 20 countries, not just as a traveler, but as a global citizen, fostering organizations that empower individuals in various facets of life. He stands by the conviction that business acumen is a catalyst for joy and prosperity worldwide. By teaching the art of commerce and financial literacy, Zach believes we can ignite a global transformation, equipping people with the means to sustain themselves. An aficionado of human behavior, personal development, and theoretical concepts, Zach delights in weaving these elements into the fabric of business success. His insights are not merely academic. They are life lessons gleaned from a journey that began on an Indiana farm and has since embraced the world. That might be the best bio I've started a show with. So
a lot of time. It only took 20 years to make.
So tell our listeners more about what you've been up to and really, what are you doing here?
What I'm up to is, let's sort of go back to the vision was when I was 16, 18 years old, it was travel the world, make money and help people. And over the last, well, I'm 38, so about 20, 22 years, I've learned how to do that. And so we started traveling full time about 3+ years ago. And what we spend our time and attention on today is we run our private equity firm, my wife and I. And what we do is we look for businesses that we want to invest in that we really feel can make a social impact in the world, not just a financial impact, but a social impact as well as a financial impact. And then we take our proceeds, reinvest that back into real estate, and then we teach others how to do it because our travels, we've seen a lot. And I was born and raised in a small town in Indiana, and I just wanted to see the world. And I heard it was a scary place. And I heard all these bad things, and I love it. I love traveling. I love seeing the people. And what I see is a lot of problem, and a lot of these problems that can be solved with money. Obviously, right? Money and education. The challenge is the old way of doing things is ask for charity, ask for a handout. And I don't want to ask anybody for money because I don't want the strings that go with that money. And so I said, if I can make a lot of money, I can write a check. And if I can teach other people to make a lot of money, they can write checks. And so my goal is to help people understand what it takes to grow a business, understand what it takes to make money. So then they can have some personal fulfillment in their lives and then take that money that they make and go give it back to their local community.
So right now you're recording from Colombia.
Medellin, Colombia.
If anybody's watching the YouTube, you can see the greenery out Zach's window. It's a little different looking than, I guess we've had a late winter here in the Midwest. So it's not super white outside, but it definitely looks warmer behind you than where
I
we
keep
are.
Forgetting it's Christmas time because I'm just like, oh, it's summer. It's summer.
That's great. So when you talked about, so part of what you do in your travels is teaching people where you're at some of these business skills.
Well, I started off in real estate. And the reason I started off in real estate is because I didn't have any money. I was working in corporate America. I made great money. I just didn't understand how to manage it, how to save it, how to do any of that. And so I've been on this lifelong journey of understanding money. And so real estate was the industry I got into because I heard you could invest in real estate with none of your own money, none of your own credit. You know, it's sort of a half truth, I'll put it that way. And so I was able to quit my job, do all that stuff. And then I started focusing on businesses because that's where I really wanted to be. And so we run a private community of real estate investors, entrepreneurs in the United States, all across the United States. It's transitioned online of over 1,000 people. And so I spend every morning helping those individuals. And then what we do is as we travel, we also try to find something that inspires us. And so we have an organization down here in Colombia. We've been funding / supporting for over 4 years. We have an organization, actually an individual in Kenya. He's a Maasai tribesman that we support. He's the first individual to go through college. He's just really doing amazing jobs over there, is inspiring his local community. And so we're helping them understand business and understand money and understand you don't have to ask for something. You can actually become worth something more. And obviously that's through education and learning.
It's an amazing thing when you start to realize the ability to make money and the difference between asking for an investment versus a handout, I guess, that
right.
There's people out there looking for investments, and a motivated person is usually often a really good investment, because if your work is changing your life, you're not going to give up as easily as maybe some generic investments in the States.
Yeah. I mean, these people are literally, I don't want to say fighting, day-to-day survival, right? And so if, as you travel, I've seen real poverty, like real poverty, nothing like in the United States. If you live in the United States and you have something that you're dealing with, everyone has their own level, right? But as I traveled, I got to see it on a whole different level. The simplest thing, clean drinking water, the simplest thing, food, the simplest things, clothing and shelter. And so I've accomplished a lot of my goals. And every time I accomplish a goal, it's a fantastic experience. And then I sort of like, I'm not happy anymore, right? Because it's like, I did this thing and it's like, well, now what? Now what? And so I've been discovering this concept of being proud, like proud in my day's work, proud in my accomplishments. And when we give something to somebody, obviously food, water, shelter, like the necessities, I think that's something I have no problem giving something for. But outside of that, I want to teach people so that they can have that experience of feeling proud, have that experience of having purpose in their life. My personal experience, if I don't have purpose, if there's not something I'm aiming for every day, it's, I don't have that vigor in my life. I don't have that excitement to wake up. So not only do we want to help them financially, but we want to help them, give them purpose and passion in life so that they can feel that sense of joy and that sense of being proud in their life and doing something for somebody else.
That's amazing. Yeah, I think that was, I don't know, that challenge of what you're doing every day. We talked about before, I went through some burnout, and part of that was you hit a point where the challenge in what you're doing isn't there. And everybody's a little different on how much challenge they want every day, how much change right. they need to see. And when I ran out of that challenge of what am I accomplishing was kind of part of the like, well, what am I doing? I'm just kind of show up and do the same thing every day.
And just punching the time clock, even though you're making great money, even though you're making a huge difference in the world, even though, you know, checkbox, checkbox, checkbox. For me, I had the same occurrence, but I wasn't growing. Because I wasn't growing, I wasn't being fulfilled. And because I wasn't fulfilled, it was like, this is making the donuts, the proverbial donuts, as they say, right?
And everybody's a little different. For somebody out there listening, I can remember the number of times that I had a neighbor earlier in my career who ran a big piece of heavy equipment. And he used to laugh that he was like, yeah, I graduated sixth from last in my high school class. And now he's this heavy equipment operator and basically dug holes, did a lot of stuff like fiber optic installation. Uh-huh. So giant machine digging a deep hole, not breaking fiber optics. He was a talented guy at what he did. And he went to work, came home, hung out, drank some beer and had some cheese curds and was totally happy. And I was like, man, I wish.
Well, that's sometimes the thing, I wish, right? That, like, we get in this trap. Like, I love motorcycles. And so I just got my new motorcycle this week, and I went on a, oh my God, it was like 18 hours in a day and a half. So 9 hours to Bogota is like 7 hours, 8 hours back. I made it to Bogota and I had this beautiful dinner at this Japanese place, right? And then I came back and I just stopped on the side of a road at this little family hut on a river in the middle of nowhere. And I was just sort of having one of these surreal moments. And it was like, people work an entire lifetime for this. And there's a chicken there and there's a couple dogs running around, their families enjoying each other. They're cooking on old, throwing a log on the fire, that type of cooking. And it was like $4 for my lunch. And I'm just like, happiness is within. It's like everyone's got to figure that out for themselves.
Yeah. But then we're all a little different. I mean,
right, we're all a little different.
Yeah. That I have this need to learn new stuff. And if I'm not learning new stuff, I get bored quickly. Other people are different than that. Like, I would be jealous. Like, I wish I didn't have this thing. Like, I need to go learn something new. And I could just stop. But when I realize that, and like, okay, so this is me. That's okay. Now make a plan that involves learning new stuff to a point that you can control it, though, and you're not crazy on one side chasing after something and crazy on the other side, like, oh, I'm bored. It becomes a more delicate balance.
That's what I'm really working on, right? As I share my motorcycle experience, I've been in the office, my proverbial office, right? For the last 6 months, we were over in Bali. And so I'm grateful that I get to work from all these places. And at the same time, I'm working, and even on the weekends, because we launched a couple new ventures, and I needed something. That burnout that you were talking about earlier, I could feel it coming on. It's like, I don't really want to do anything. I'm not productive. And so I swing to the other side. It's like, oh, a 2-day motorcycle ride just fills me back up. And so I got back in the office today. I'm ready to go. I'm inspired, because what I do is, that's my proverbial carrot that I hang in front of myself. I'm like, okay, now I got something I get to do on the weekends if I so choose. And so I need to get all my work done. I need to get all my goals accomplished. I need to get everything done. So I'm ready to go. And so it gives me something to hang in front of myself to drive me. And the other thing I've noticed is, I'm the same way. I always have to be learning something new. And for me, it was, I took about 4 to 6 months off when I left corporate America. And I literally just sat in my yard in Indiana and read personal development books to try and quiet my mind. I was a theoretical financial consultant, and so I dealt with theoretical finance. So there's this just complex thinking and observation and understanding. And so my mind was always going. I couldn't sleep at night, and I just wanted to shut it off. And so I found, oh, personal development and meditation and all of those things that we hear. I just, oh my God, it changed my life. And so now I can shut my brain off. It doesn't run me all the time. It's an active thing I have to be working on. I coach 2 to 3 times a week with my coach to keep it in check. And yeah, because if we don't, it'll run us.
You know, it's an interesting, you were talking about that. The personal development thing, as a physician, as a surgeon, it's almost, and maybe people disagree with me, but my experience, it's almost like somebody designed an anti-personal development lifestyle.
Help me understand. What do you mean by that?
That, you know, like, from medical school, it's this crush of education, just this huge volume of information. And I remember thinking medical school was going to be really hard theoretically. Like, it sounds like what you were doing, theoretical finance, was a lot of deep thought, where medical school is more like, not that it was easy, but it was a little bit like drinking from the fire hose, was an analogy.
Just a lot of memorization. Because I took biology 101. I was like, oh my gosh, this is like a foreign language. Like, just the memorization, I couldn't even articulate it. So I dropped out of it. Like, it was just such a different world for me. And that was only a 101 class. And I couldn't really hang.
Yeah, like the first 2 years of medical school, like the first year is you memorize the way things are supposed to be. And the second year, you memorize a bunch of things that when it's broken and not working. Okay. And then you start your clinicals and go see some stuff in the real world. And so those first 2 years are just really, it's a ton of memorization. And then when you get into the clinic, then there's more thinking, but it's kind of this barrage and time barrage. And then residency is kind of like another step up of, how hard can I work? How tough am I?
We're going to weed out the weak ones.
Well, there is. And they even talk about that, about weeding out. It's about how much can you put yourself through, but it goes on for years and years and years, and you almost forget that there's more to life. And I think when I was going through burnout, I'm like, you know what? I don't know if I want to do this anymore. And I was at a mastermind in Puerto Rico with a personal development person, and all these people were asking me like, well, what do you want to do?
That's a hard question to answer sometimes.
I don't know. I know what I've been doing for the last 20 years, and it was all a very narrow path. You put up all these guardrails to keep yourself from getting distracted. Right. And then all of a sudden, like, I haven't even looked over the guardrail in years. What else is there?
Right. That's where I was. I was just so focused. I call them blinders. I didn't have a girlfriend. I didn't really do anything with friends. I just worked because I wanted this life that I had in my imagination. And I'm like, well, once I get there, then I can relax and be happy.
Yeah.
It never came. Well, let me rephrase that. It never came on that path. I had to shift path.
And those shifts can be hard. I mean, that was, for me, was this like, okay, I'm going to shift and I'm going to do this real estate thing and I'm going to do some different stuff. And initially, I had this vision that I could build it and make this nice, smooth transition that would be really easy. Like, I would build this thing up and it would start making money and then I could just slide over. And life often doesn't let things happen that smoothly. Just
never.
Never. I'm like, not that often. You're like, no, it's never.
Ever. It's like, we call it, needle, like threading the needle through the fire. Cause it's like, you got to be tough because people ask me, does it ever get easier? I go, absolutely not. It gets incredibly harder. You just become better, right? You just become better as a person at whatever the craft is.
Man, yeah, because I just reached this point where I'm like, okay, if I'm going to build this thing, I got to work less over here. There's only so much time and energy.
Right.
And even when I had time, my wife's like, well, you got time. And I'm like, yeah, but after 12 hours in the OR to come do creative work is like,
oh, your brain is like on E. Yeah.
Yes. So it can be a rough transition. And then you step out, especially if you're coming from a high paying job. And I'm assuming you were doing okay in finance. And then you're like, I'm going to step aside. And you think that slowing down financially is going to be easy. And I'd say we didn't spend extravagantly, but you're used to having a bank account that replenishes itself rather rapidly.
Right. I mean, when I first met my wife, I was living in an RV in my friend's yard because I just said, it's funny, I bought this RV for $7,500 cash. And I told myself, if I mess up, I got a place to stay until I figure it out. Right. That was sort of my mindset. So that's where I started. I mean, I've lived in friends' houses and stuff like that. But then you get your own place and you're like, oh, this is sort of nice. You get a little bit of a place and you're like, oh, this is sort of nice. And you get this a little bit better food. And you're like, oh, this is sort of nice. And that standard of living is like, oh, this is sort of nice. And then you justify it and you're like, well, I worked hard. Right. And it's just like, yeah, it catches up. Yeah.
And there's not, I don't know if there's anything wrong with some of the fruits of your labor. And it just creeps up. It goes up from there. And it wasn't until I went half time and turned the nozzle back half speed, I realized how many big expenses I had. Right. Just how big your mortgage is when it used to be not a big deal. And all of a sudden you're like, oh. And so that transition can kind of be tough. And that's, I know, I guess that's part of the show is more, I think most of our listeners are more passive investors. And so learning about how to make it a smoother transition, how to build a retirement rather than make a pivot.
Well, here's what I've learned. One of the biggest things, if we say we regress, I'll say if I've done things differently, I would not have quit my job as early. And I think we were misled on what business is. And, you know, the fantasy island of, oh, become an entrepreneur. Anybody can do it. It's a great life. It's like, it's tough as nails some days. I mean, that's why people quit. I mean, in my opinion, I've been doing this for 20 years. I've coached thousands of individuals. And I see these people, they're just raw talent. They got everything going for them and they just can't hack it. And it's like, because there's so many different avenues of success inside of running your own business entrepreneurs. I would have just kept my job and worked in that and focused on my mindset. And then obviously create a plan to use my job to get out of my job instead of just cutting it loose. Oh my gosh, that hurt. You don't know until you know. And so I work, a lot of my clients are, we have high net worth W-2 clients. We have high net worth individuals, shareholder aspect where they're passive. We have CEOs. And I tell all the W-2 people, I said, you don't know what you're jumping into. Like, you're making $200,000, $500,000 in a W-2 world. Let me show you how to leverage tax strategy so you get to keep that and perfect your skill set so you can buy some passive real estate, so you can buy some passive businesses. And when I say passive, I'm a firm believer there's no such thing as real passive income. Even if you own real estate, you got to manage your property managers. If you're a shareholder of a corporation, you got to make sure they're doing a good job. And so just teaching people the best way to get what they want. And most of it's having a job, like realistically, and then using that job to fund their vision of investing, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's interesting. And I'm wondering, so because I've been thinking about this, that I was moving in this direction and I was making progress until I felt the fire. Then I'm like, I have to move forward.
Uh-huh.
When you turn the spigot off and now you got to move forward, and then it gets hard. And I look back and some of the things, like all this stuff, I was like, okay, I got to do all this stuff myself until I make money off of it to build a team. And then I was just stalling out because some things I'd never done before. And then I finally met the right people to hire a VA who is experienced, who is amazing. And I look back and I'm like, oh my goodness, if I had 2 years ago hired this person, the amount of work they could get done and still had the bigger income stream to be my own venture capitalist and could have moved. I mean, I spent money on coaching and I don't know. It's always funny when you look back and you're like, if I could redesign this whole path, I would keep my job and go back 2 years and do all these things I'm doing now then.
Right. And spend the money on building the machine. And so the machine takes a moment to build for you guys. When I'm talking machine, I'm talking about acquisitions, dispositions, finding the properties, buying the business of whatever it is that you want to get into. It's a proverbial machine with softwares and people and emotions and all of this stuff. And if you got an income stream coming in your day job, use that. That's the best way that I could see to do it. Because then you don't have to use outside money. I've never taken on any outside money to scale any of my businesses other than real estate, right? Real estate is a very leveraged industry. And so I've bootstrapped all of my businesses, meaning I made money and then I put that money back in, made some more money, put that money back in, made more money, put that money back in. And so that way I don't have to be beholden of anybody and their terms and whatever it is they want. I get to do it my way. And at the same time, there's obviously downsides to that, but I gain the experience. And today I have people giving me their businesses. I have people giving me equity in their businesses for no money because of the skill sets that I bring and the team that I can bring.
So for a lot of docs, we'll go back to our doctor listener out there going, oh, this all sounds great. And I think a lot of us became doctors because of following a, not an easy path, but an easy to define path.
Like a clear, like step by step, right? It's very linear, very laid out for you.
Yes. If you show up and you do a good job and you check all the boxes, you get to the other side where now you have the job. So for the whole build a business idea, when a lot of docs I talk to, they're even investing outside of their 401k, outside of the stock market, is a big deal because they don't have any experience. And they just have the, okay, here's the standard thing. And I've even had conversations with docs. I can see partway through the conversation, kind of the fear firewall comes up. Uh-huh. It's almost like their eyes roll back in their head. And the brain just kind of shuts off and goes, okay, this is scary. It's off the path that we've been on, and right, they just kind of stop. But then at the same time, on the other side, they feel trapped. Like, I don't know how to run a business, especially now that a lot of docs are employed. They don't even have the business experience. But even the ones who do, it's all a big, scary world out there. And that's part of where this podcast came from, is to help them understand investing in real estate. Now,
right,
when you start talking about businesses, because this is a tough one, and is this part of the coaching that you do? Just if somebody's like, man, I want to learn about business, I like this idea, never got exposed to it, how does this work? Do I need to go get an MBA or is there a better way?
Well, I'm an advocate of learning. My business is called Learn and Grow Rich. I was just sitting there one day. I was like, because I remember when I graduated high school and then college, I was like, oh, thank God I'm done. And it is just the beginning. I'm learning something every day. I've spent $500,000 on coaching and education, and I'll still do it because like you, I have that inquisitive mind. And so here's what I do is when I work with people, I understand, where do you want to go? Because most people can't define that. We started off the podcast with, oh, what do you want? And I was asked that question. I was like, I just want to travel the world, right? That was my desire. I want to go on epic adventures. And that was about the extent of it. And I literally paid a coach, I'm not joking, $5,000 every Monday for 30 minutes for a full year. She goes, what do you want? Who's there? What's it look like? And so I'd shut my eyes and she would just take notes for 30 minutes. Who do you want? What do you want? Or what do you want? And it was like for the first couple months, it was agony. It's like, oh my God, it's like, why are you making me do this? And it was my own life. It was like me creating my own life. But then the imagination started to getting reprimed because I shut it down for so long. Because like you said, I was in a very linear step-by-step, go to school, get a job, work your butt off, do this process, and you'll get this. And I was like, I hate this. This is not what I imagined it would be. And so once I started doing that, then I knew the destination. I needed to point the ship. So that's what I do. Where do you want to go? Once we get that defined, where are you at? What is your skill set? What are your resources? How much time, how much money, how much knowledge you have in whatever it is that you want to do? And then what we do is we build a custom plan for them. For some people, they stick in their business or W-2, whatever. They stay doing what they're doing. On the side, we reallocate their income and their expenses and that stuff and their strategies. Some people, they just quit their job. I just had a nurse. She just quit her job, went part-time, and they're making more money. Have her working part-time because of the tax benefits of real estate. And no one ever told her about this, right? Because she now qualifies as a real estate professional. Her husband works full-time. They get the tax benefit of cost segregation and all this fun stuff. And she's like, this is great. And for other people, they already have what they need. I got a couple, they got $5 million in assets, like liquid assets, stock market style stuff. They need 20 grand a month to live a beautiful life. They make $500,000 right now as a couple. And I'm like, you guys could retire tomorrow if you wanted to. But for them, it's so such a foreign concept. And so they're like, well, how do I make 20 grand a month? And I was like, I'll give you 20 grand a month for your money secured by real estate. And that's where I think people have a challenge. And that's where I had a challenge is because all of these coaches and consultants, I don't say all of them, but a lot of these people selling the vision is they're like, okay, this is the way and the only way. And then you're like, well, I don't like that way, or that doesn't align with who I am as a person, or that doesn't align with my vision. And so it's like, oh my gosh. And so then you go to someone else and say, oh, that guy doesn't know what they're talking about. This is the way. And then you go to a third person and they're all like, well, neither of those two people know what they're talking about. This is the way. And you're like, this is my experience. Like, just tell me the way, right? Just show me and I'll do it. Like you said, in the doctor route.
Yeah.
The challenge with entrepreneurism and business, they can point a direction. And so that's what I love to do is I have mentors, I have coaches, and I love doing that with other people. It's like, there's the direction, but the step-by-steps, it's going to depend on who you are and what you do and all of that stuff. And if you take the time to do that, you can create a bulletproof path that aligns with who you are as a person, that aligns with your timeline, that aligns with your time and your resources and your skill set and your knowledge base and your relationship capital and all of that stuff. And so that you're actually set up to win as opposed to being told to play a game that isn't going to be winnable.
Wow. When you were talking about the, what do I do? Like, I've worked with a couple different coaches who are both very good and we're both different. And the first one was very good at kind of getting me through the burnout and back on like seeing the world and what was possible. And then the second one was more real estate focused,
very but tactical, still the, probably.
Actually, it was a lot came out of from the Tony Robbins camp.
Oh, yeah.
And so very much mindset, but mindset and real estate. And so I had to make that change because once I got through the like, okay, this is where I want to go. With the first coach, she's like, I'm not a business coach. kind of like, all right, I don't know if I got much more to give you here. We've got you where we tried to get to.
Right.
And it was great. And maybe that's always a hard one when I'm looking at coaches and I'm like, okay, so I get stuck in that too. Like, just tell me the next thing to do.
I'm full of energy. I said one of my best, I don't know the word, things about me is I was raised on a farm with a hard work ethic. And that's the reason I just won't quit. But it's like, if I don't know what it is I should be doing, I get paralyzed. And so it's just like, just tell me the step, right?
Yeah.
I totally get it.
That's kind of where I've been a lot. I'm like, listen, I'm smart. I'm motivated. Tell me the next thing to do. Because I look back to, it's the whole doctor pathway. There's always the next thing to do is right there. And that's a hard thing as an entrepreneur sometimes, is knowing the next step.
I have so many mentors. And one of them says, as you make more money, timing is important, right? If you do it out of sequence, you won't win. And so I've spent a lot of money on coaches. The coach I have today, I've had her for 5 years, and she doesn't tell me what to do. It's an inquiry, right? And so she's not a business coach, but she helps me with my business. She's not a relationship coach, but she helps me with my relationship. And so in the world, I get to figure it out for myself, but I have that true north called my goal. I have that true north called my intention. I have that true north, that baseline I get to check it off of. And I see so many coaches out there, they call themselves coaches and they don't have experience. They've never accomplished anything great. They're charging these incredible prices. And I'm like, what have you accomplished? And they're like, well, you know, I went through this program. I'm like, have you ever suffered? Have you ever laid on the ground crying, right? Because you don't know what to do and there's $500,000 on the line. Just like those real life events that are just, you have to live through them to be able to get the next round of people through them yourselves, right? And I have this saying, I said, if your coach doesn't have a coach, they're not a coach. I've had coaches where I'm like, who's your coach? They're like, oh, I don't have one. I'm like, but you're coaching me. That's one of the hardest things, is finding a good coach out there that aligns with everything. And so what we've done is I've just brought it all in-house and self-encompassed. I mean, I do coaching when I'm working with these high-end executives, when I'm working with these high-end entrepreneurs. I do the personal development aspect. I do the relationship aspect. I do the financial, the operations, the sales, the marketing. And I may not do everything. I may have one of my team members do it, but we focus on all that, because if you don't have your home life working, your business isn't going to work. If you don't have your self-satisfaction, if you don't have your health, if you don't have all of these things coming to me for your balance sheet and income statement type stuff, good luck, because you're not an empowered person when you're out there performing, because your marriage is on the verge of collapse, or your kids hate you, or you haven't taken a vacation in 3 years, 10 years, or ever. And so I look at all of those things, but I've been trained. Oh my God, I tell everyone, I'm a very trained dog, right? I work on myself 2 to 3 times a week with my coach, and I'm always in a book. And the key is I listen for what's missing, right? That's a hard skill set to develop yourself in. And so I listen for what's missing, and they could actually be, you could hear it in their words. You can see it in their being. Maybe they're not inspired when they talk to you. It's an art to hear what's missing, but it's all through communication.
That's awesome. I think there's a lot of docs out there who might be listening to this. And at least to me, when I first started looking at coaching, it felt, I don't know, somewhere, again, I grew up on a little farm town in southwestern Colorado. And so the idea of coaches and personal development all sounded very voodoo-ish to me.
You know what? I didn't tell people when I first bought a coaching program, because I'm like, they're going to make fun of me and then I'm going to quit because I don't have the self-confidence yet. And yeah, I felt the same thing, man.
That's awesome. All right. So let's wrap up this first half of the show here. And when we come back with Zach in the second half, I want to dive into a little bit more of some advice on finding a coach and what to look for, how to interview and like find somebody that's going to work for them. Because I think for a lot of docs, this is a strange new world to go into and look at coaching. So thanks for being here, Zach. And we'll talk with you on the next episode. For everybody else out there, thank you so much for joining us. I do have a special favor to ask. Please, wherever you're listening to this, especially if it's on Apple Podcasts, leave us a 5-star review, leave a comment. Even if you hate the show, leave us a 1-star review and a bad comment. It's all part of the algorithm for Apple that helps make this available to other people. And if you hated it and we know why, it helps us get better too. So thanks for joining us on Surgeon Syndicate.
Thanks for having me.
This has been an episode of Surgeon Syndicate. If you found value in this episode, know other surgeons are hungry to become job optional. You can help them by sharing this content today. I also want to serve you better, so I want to offer you two things. Number one, I'll be able to give you the content in an even better way if you can take a moment and leave an honest review of the show explaining what you like and what you don't. And number two, if you are a surgeon and serious about this, you don't want to do this on your own because you don't want to make mistakes with your money, I'd be happy to help. Schedule a call. We can make a plan. Looking forward to having you with me on the next episode.